Blog Talk Radio.
Tears don't dry as another baby cries. Happy on the street with your head held high. The rich get richer, poor, poor ass why. But you blame it on the parents cause they barely get by. Party with the system, barely notice our eye. Liquor store on every corner and you wonder why we die. Drugs taking families but you lock away the dealer. And give them more time than you just a pedophile.
Welcome to Make You Think Radio. It's been what seems like a long, long, long vacation. And actually, I'm glad to be back on tonight because, you know, one of the things about making a difference is that you have to be committed to it, and which we are. It's why we changed some of our programming around. We have a lot going on, a lot of different things. We have a big event coming up, sponsoring, and actually dealing with youth baseball. And then on top of that, just everyday things. But we do have a new schedule. Start next Monday. We will be on in the morning. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be at night. Thursday, it'll be in the morning as well. So we'll run Monday through Thursday. I think the morning show will be a good change up. I really do. Tonight's topic is a little bit different. Tonight is about divorce in America. Divorce is a big thing in America, and it's kind of a very touchy subject because you have people that really just live by the old principle that divorce is wrong no matter what, and then you have people who take marriage very lightly. And I think that what statistics and reality show is that there really is no one set reason for divorce. And, you know, divorce is not or should not be a stigmatism. It should not be something that people are looked down on for. Whereas I think it's the total opposite. I think sometimes when two people can admit to call it quits, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of gumption. Because let's be honest, when for the most part, very rarely do people go into a marriage ever thinking that they'll get divorced. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that just like in life, people forget about death. So they live their life as if it's never going to end. And I think that's the same thing with marriage. I think a lot of times people will take things for granted and they treat their marriage as something that, quite honestly, has no chance of ending. And there's a lot of marriages, and not just marriages, long-term relationships that should have been over a long time ago. I will tell you the other thing is that a lot of people, when the writing's on the wall not to get married, somehow think that marriage is an antidote. And then it's going to make a relationship better, when in reality all the signs were there. Everything was there that there was no sense in getting married, that even going forward wasn't going to be a good idea, but they go after it anyway. So there's a lot of different things about divorce, a lot of thoughts. I have people that are friends of mine that have been divorced, acquaintances, people that, couples that nobody ever thought would break up. But the reality is that divorce does happen, that divorce is and always will be a fact of life. And quite honestly, I don't think that I think the days of looking at divorce as anything more than part of life are pretty much gone. I think that anyone that goes into something or is in a marriage right now, rather, and has the attitude of, well, I'm not going to get divorced because it's wrong, you're setting yourself up for failure, because living miserable doesn't make sense. Okay, miserable marriage doesn't make sense, and there's a lot to talk about tonight. If you want to be a part of it, the number is 347-826-7526. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance, and I don't really know why, but once again, the audio problem with the music come up, So there won't be any hold music. It will go silent for a little bit when you're on hold, but or when we go to break. But I promise you, we're not disappearing. Over the next hour and just under an hour and a half, we're going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and you can feel free to join in or just listen. As always, it's good to be back on the radio. We are on tonight. We'll be back on tomorrow night, and then after that, we take off next Monday morning, and we'll be back on Monday through Thursday. So we'll be right back after this. We'll get into divorce here in America in just a moment. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio. Tonight's topic is all about divorce. Divorce here in America, what some see as a sin, what others see as natural, what some see as never an option. And so we get right into it. I have a lot of different takes on divorce. Now, having never been divorced, I'm not an expert, but I believe that when you break up in a long-term relationship, a long-term, my term, is anything more than 5 years, okay? I don't think a 2-3-year relationship, you know, I think that's long, depending on what part of life you're in. But the grand scheme of things, though, so when I talk about long-term relationships, I'm talking about 5 years or more. And I'm talking about when you're actually sharing a place together and you're together. Maybe there's a kid involved, maybe there's not, but you're sharing some type of responsibility together. So when I think of it in those terms, what I'm about to say to you may aggravate a lot of people, but I don't think divorce is any worse than breaking up in a long-term relationship, right? It's just this stigmatism that we put on it, that once we get a license, once we take these vows, once we stand in front of a crowd, that commitment is supposed to be bigger than what it was when it was just a relationship. But I don't believe that. I believe that you either have a commitment or you don't have a commitment. There's a lot of people that aren't married that are better to each other and happier than some married couples. That's just the way it is. It's just the facts. There's no question about it. So when you look at it, 90% of people here, or 90% of people in general, get married. So that means just about everybody at some point or another is going to get married, right? Now, let's think about that for a moment. That means that if 90% of the people are going to get married by the time they're 50, and probably we should have a stat that breaks that down a little better, but I apologize, we don't. But if 90% of the people are going to get married by the time they're 50 years old, that means that almost everyone in America either would have had to find the perfect person or is taking a risk on what they feel at the moment, okay? They have a belief that they found somebody who they are never, ever, ever going to break up with, that they are never, ever, ever, ever going to want to be away from. I think it's a wonderful thought. I think it's a great thought. I think that just about everybody, when they get married, truly believe that it is going to be forever. I do not believe, with the exception of very few people, go into a marriage thinking or having a doubt or not believing the words that they speak at the altar. And so that means 90% of the people in America are going to, at some point, believe that they have found the right person, okay? Or at least most of them. Now, I know there's some people that get married for companionship or get married because they feel it's the right time or they're getting too old or life's going to pass them by, but I believe most people get married because they feel they've found the right person. Now, the problem with that theory is that means 90% of America would never, ever, ever change their mind. And as people are built, we know that life changes and people change, okay? When the person you married begins to grow in a different direction and you are not growing in that direction, that plants all the seeds you need for what ultimately will either turn into unhappiness or divorce. Now, when you take options away, only 3% of arranged marriages end in divorce. Now, here's where people get confused, though. Okay? Here's where people get confused. And that is that in arranged marriages, you don't have a choice. okay?
You didn't have a choice who you marry, and you don't have a choice when to leave. Very rarely. And I know even if they claim you have a choice, anybody who's going to pick a groom or a bride for somebody, groom or a bride,
yeah,
I'm messing up, a groom or a bride is obviously very controlling. And I know some parents out there that will fit this criteria, but you can't do it here in America. The divorce rate in America is 53%. That means that of that 90%, 53%, for a variety of reasons, will end up getting divorced. Now, it's over half, okay? It's over half. Over half of all married couples end up in divorce. That means that marriage is right for the other 50%, right? Well, not necessarily, because we all know a couple or have a friend or a relative that does not want to be with their significant other, but will not leave for a variety of reasons, okay? So I would say that even though the number truly were unhappy in their marriage, did divorce, it'd be close to the 70. I believe that 1,000,000%. Because if I just do the logic, okay, if I just take it from a standpoint of logical human nature, if 53% of people are admitting the truth, well, we all know someone who is it, right? They'll tell you. They'll tell everybody. They just won't tell the person they're with, okay? I know a couple right now that are going to get married, okay? And he hates everything about him. She hates everything about him. But they'll still push forward at this point and tie the knot. Now, I know other couples that are on the verge of getting married that seem perfectly happy. But I know plenty of couples where one or both parties complains about the other constantly when they're not around. Folks, the fact of the matter is that marriage in most cases doesn't work. Even if it doesn't end, it doesn't work. And I think there's a variety of reasons for that. Because I think as a culture, we've almost set marriage up for failure, which is something that I'm going to get into. Now, I was talking with somebody the other night, and I'm not going to say names, and they were saying, well, you know, I found a good man, or I found a man that I want to be with, and you know, but there's a variety of reasons, and I don't know if we'll ever get married, so we're not going to get married, maybe I can't be with him. And my answer to her was, so let me get this straight. You found someone that makes you happy. You're going to give them up to find someone not necessarily that makes you happy, but that will marry you. So you'll give up happiness to have security. That is not a way to live your life. Not in any way, shape, or form. I would rather have happiness at its worst than security at its best. Because happiness is what life's all about. Okay, folks, let's face it. You're only getting to do this one time. Not marriage, life. And I understand about the afterlife, but that ain't this. Okay? I don't believe for one minute that God is sending anyone to hell for getting divorced. Because God gave human beings something that human beings no longer like to use, and it's called the ability to use common sense. If he gave you the ability to realize when something's bad for you, God would not encourage you, at least I don't think, to spend your whole life doing bad, being unhappy. So the rate of divorce has steadily increased over the last 30 years. And we're going to get into tonight a lot of the reasons why that rate has increased. But I want to tell you something, folks, that was most astounding when I started taking a look at things. Because in here, when couples aren't working and when things aren't going right, that they need to go to counseling. That counseling is the answer. Go to counseling, right? You go to counseling, and this person that you're going to see somehow, some way, and I don't know how yet, but they learned in school the secret. All the things that no one else knows, they know how to make a marriage work. Okay, you don't know because you're not educated enough. You don't have a bachelor's degree and a this and a that and a master's degree and whatever else they came up with, right? I mean, there's so many damn degrees nowadays, I don't even know what to do. But somebody went to the University of Phoenix, right, took some online classes, and now they're an expert in what makes relationship works. They can tell you, they can show you, all you got to do. You've been with someone for 25 years, you haven't been able to work it out, you're at each other's throat, things aren't going right, don't worry about it, here comes this Phoenix marriage counselor, sit down, let me help you, or this guy went to Harvard, whatever it is, okay? Folks, let me tell you something. The people with the highest rate of divorce themselves in the medical industry are, ding, 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 marriage counselors. Let me repeat that. The group that falls into the medical category with the highest, let me say it again, with the highest rate of divorce, marriage counselors. Now, you'd lose on Family Feud because you probably never guessed that. Folks, these are just normal people. There is no book. There is no class. There is no, I'll tell you the secret, and if you listen to me, you'll never have to worry about divorce. You'll never have to worry. They don't have any more answers than you, okay? See, here's the problem. Many of you will pay a stranger to tell you what a true friend has been telling you for a long time. But you don't value the true friend because they weren't given a title by corporate America or by the powers that be. But the people that know you, and you yourself who know you, that's your counselor. Okay? Going to a counselor, for them to tell you how your marriage should work, folks, I'm going to give you some bad news right now. If you need a piece of paper with step-by-step instructions to make your marriage work, it's over. It is over. Start shoveling the dirt. It is over. I promise myself if I ever get to that point, or me and my wife have a checklist on a refrigerator, okay, and the checklist says smile before he leaves, compliment her on the eggs, pat him on the penis when he's good, I'm done. The other big misconception is that adultery causes most divorces. Actually, it only causes about 15%. 15%. Now, that's still a decent number, okay? It's one out of every five. Is that right about that? No, I'm sorry. I'm off on that. I apologize. A little more than one out of every five. But the point being that all we ever hear about is that, oh, well, people cheat, it's cheating, cheating, it's cheating, it's porn, it's this, it's that, it's the other, blah, blah. 15% of the time, that's true. Now, I will grant you that a lot of people will not list adultery as the reason for the breakup because other things happen after they try to work it out. And so, therefore, this number probably is higher. In fact, I'm sure it is. But it's not what people think, okay? What you always hear is marriage ends because that motherfucker, he cheated, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you something. The infidelity is usually the last step of a lot of failures on both parts and a lot of unfulfillment. And we're going to get into more of that as the show goes on. But, and we're not going to turn this into a discussion on infidelity. But all I'm saying is that in most cases, not all, but in most cases, people don't just wake up, look at the ceiling, and say, you know what? Today's a good day to fuck around on my spouse. That's not usually the way it works, okay? In some cases, but not in all. And in many cases, many, many, many cases, okay, the problem becomes that adultery is the only thing that we talk about. We don't mention all this other stuff that goes on. But the truth is that adultery is not the number one culprit. So, having said that, we're going to move on from there, okay? We're going to come back. In the next segment, I want to talk about the common and overlooked reasons. I want to talk about the common and the overlooked reasons as to what exactly is the number one problem. Well, not so much the number one problem, but what are some of the problems? We'll be right back after this. And we are back live on Make You Think Radio. Tonight we are talking about divorce here in America. And just so that you know, I said this earlier, but for those of you just tuning in, unfortunately the whole music is a little bit off. It is messed up, and so therefore we cannot do anything about it, but it's the way that it goes. We will have it fixed next time that we step on, I promise you that. But for now, we just have to make the best of it. We can't do anything about it. So, having said that, we're talking about divorce in America, and we're talking about a number of different things and things that are going on here in the United States, and as to why divorce is happening is the next segment that we're going to talk about. And there's a lot of reasons. The number one reason, I believe, when you take all the reasons into it, well, you know what? I'm going to get into that in a little while. I'll get into that in a little while. For now, let's kind of go with this. Now, one of the main reasons listed is lack of communication. And this really doesn't surprise me. And when I thought about the fact that the divorce rates go up, I believe lack of communication is probably the biggest marriage killer that there is. And I'm going to tell you why, besides the obvious. But here's what I believe. Successful marriages are kind of like successful businesses, business partnerships, in this respect. The most successful business partnerships have partners striving for the same goals, sharing the successes and the failures together, and then working together to make it bigger, better, stronger. So, what does that mean? Well, if two business partners stop communicating and they stop talking, sharing, how long is that business going to stay in? Not long. It can't. Because in order for a business to survive, in order for a marriage to survive, you must have common goals and share the successes and the failures. When you stop communicating, all of a sudden the successes are all claimed by either or individually, and the failures start with finger pointing. Folks, there's going to be ups and downs. If you don't talk about them, nothing will ever get better. And I think that the other thing is, in today's world, okay, and I know that my marriage is guilty, but I know most marriages, most relationships, most friendships are, we find excuses, okay, because it's too easy to text, it's too easy to email, it's too easy to do this, too easy to do that, we don't put the time forth to just sit on the couch and have a conversation, to just share it. We find all these things, and in today's world, we use technology, and we find all these things and all this other stuff, right? And we'll spend all this time telling our friends what we want to do and our coworkers what we want to do and people at school or in the PTO or whatever it is. This is what I want to do. These are the goals. Do you know, if you want to put a study out there yourself, go talk to the average person, and you give the average person a quiz about their mate and tell them to list the 10 things that are most important that they want, that their mate wants to achieve, and then have the mate list the 10 things that is most important, I bet you most people would fail. Most people would fail. And it's a shame. It is a shame. But, folks, I'm here to tell you that we don't talk anymore. We just don't talk. As a nation, we stop talking. And the reason we stop talking is because technology has made it easy to stop talking. So there was a time when your spouse came home, if you wanted to know how their day went, or you wanted to know how things went, and that was important because that was the biggest news, okay? You talk about current events when they got home. You saw some on the news, even going back to 9/11, okay? Now, with technology, by the time they get home, all the important stuff you've talked about, but you haven't talked about it with the most important person, and that's your spouse. Now, another reason that divorces occur, and unfortunately, this is a big one, finances. Because stress, and I've said this a million times, stress is the biggest killer. Care if you want to bring it to health, mental stability, happiness, stress, libido, whatever you want to give it. If you remove stress from a person's life, everything becomes better. That's why finance is such a big part. Folks, do you think it's a coincidence that so many famous people that have money, or millionaires that have money, billionaires, when they get a disease, that they're able to deal with it a lot better? And I can tell you why. Let's just start with there, and then we'll bring it over to divorce. When a person is sick, okay, in order to get better, what do they need to do? They need to be able to sit down and figure out how to deal with it. And they need to be able to focus on themselves and the task at hand, right? Well, folks, the problem with that is when money's involved, most people are trying to figure out how they're going to pay for it and still take care of their family. When you're wealthy, you don't have those issues. So finances, just like in disease, finances cripple a marriage. Because part of communication is, and the reason why, and I believe these two things kind of go hand in hand, part of communication is not only communicating about your day, about what needs to be done, but positive energy, okay, sitting down and enjoying the moments, talking about the good, what makes you happy. Now, you take finances, and when finances are bad, okay, and I can tell you there was a time in my life when me and my wife's finances were bad. Now, I can tell you that if finances had not ever got better, I don't think we would have made it. And I'll tell you why. Because like most couples, what do you think the conversations were? Here was the conversations, okay? Hey, how you doing? Almost like you're strangers, right? I'm fine. Did you take care of the electric? No, I'll have to take care of it next week. Great, so we won't have any lights. Did you take care of the TV? I couldn't. I had to take care of the car. Okay, so we're not going to have TV. Guess it won't matter because we won't have any lights. Then the reaction comes, right? You know what? I'm sick of hearing about it. Doing the best I can. I'll do what I can. When I can do it, I'll do it. That's it.
Yeah, of course you don't care. It doesn't matter. Not a big deal to you. You don't like to hear about anything, right? Blah, 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 right? Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Okay, because I've been there. And so when I see people on Facebook and or I talk to people in real life, is even bigger. But, you know, here's the thing. When finances aren't good, the relationship starts to follow. And it's just human nature. I've always said this. Money dictates most of our life. It's unfortunate. Okay, and if you want to call up and tell me that it's not right, I'll agree with you. Don't tell me that I'm not right, though, because it does. Okay? Because a lot of you will say, well, money ain't everything to me, and I wouldn't leave my man because he don't have no money. No, but you'll bitch at him all day, and he'll yell back. And by the time you all go to bed, you hate each other, but neither one's willing to leave. Folks, I've been there, okay? Finances ruin communication, because then here's what happens when finances start to play into it. When finances start to play into the relationship, it's very easy to see how everything else starts to go south, because now you don't want to talk. Because one spouse don't want to bring it up because they feel like you don't care, and the other spouse don't want to talk because they don't want to hear the shit because they feel like you think they don't care. But if either one of you communicated, you would realize you both care, but sometimes money just isn't there, and you got to weather the storm. And if you didn't focus so much on the fact that the money wasn't there and work together and communicate, guess what? You'd be able to solve the problem. But that's just the way it is. Surprised at all that finances made this list. Not at all. Because we've allowed it to. And the reason why communication's first and then finances is, well, I'll tell you why. Because the communication dies when the finances start. Two people got money, they love communicating, right? Because now I've been at the other end of the spectrum. What do you want to do about the upstairs? Well, maybe we could do this. I was thinking maybe we could go to the mall. Okay, no problem. I want to take Gavin out. Okay, no problem. I want to sign Jade up for this. Okay, no problem. But some of you are at the point, though, and that communication is fun. You should have saw her today in karate. You should have saw him in baseball, this and that, blah, blah, blah. What are we going to do for his birthday party? Oh, great. Instead of four friends, you're going to have six, whatever it is, right? It's great. It's fun. But it wouldn't be. There was no money. And what I learned to realize is that sometimes finances get fucked up. You cannot let it fuck up your whole life. Too many good relationships get ruined because of money. And guess what? If you get divorced and you remarry for money, then you're still alone. But you're happier because the things that bother you are easily covered up. Now, another reason it made this list was one spouse or the other will feel held back. Like their partner is not allowing them to reach their potential, fulfill their dreams, or helping them achieve them. Really, this is sad, but it's also true. Because what happens is, when a person starts to get the fever, when they start to have a dying taste for success, whatever the success may be, they want the people they care about, but specifically now we're talking about married couples, the person they're married with, to be the inspiration. Now, what happens is when the other spouse isn't that, they become the obstacle. And so when you become the obstacle, what do people do with obstacles? They want to eliminate them. Of course they do. I mean, you watch the Steelers game, the kicker was an obstacle. He just kicked him in the fucking face. I'm not telling you to kick your partner in the face. Believe me, especially what just happened with Ray Rice, boy. You don't want to get in trouble. TMZ and get your ass like you won't believe. But the truth of the matter is that I talk to a lot of people who are in relationships who feel like they're not moving forward because of the person they're with, and that is a direct disaster because in a lot of cases, this can be traced to the finances too. Because how do you start to do better financially? Well, you have to start to do better. You usually have to do something different, right? You usually have to do something different. And facts are that usually when you're trying to go for something, you want that person with you. Now, here's the other thing, though. A lot of times what people don't realize, and this is where the change is coming. Okay, this is where the change is coming. Because a lot of times something that inspires you or that you want to go for was not something that you even cared about when you first were your partner or when you guys got married. And so they don't get it because they're used to you being who they met. See, we're not taught that just because you get, or we're taught that when you get married, who you marry, that's the way it is, okay? We're not taught to evolve. We're almost taught that once you get married, everything is just, now it's just a by the book. You have children, you do this, you do that, you do the other, blah, 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 blah. And that's why you have so many aggravated, unhappy, divorced people. Because instead of feeling held back, you should feel like they got two hands on your back pushing you forward. But you have a lot of people nowadays that do feel that way. And they feel like the other person is the reason they're not reaching their dreams. And so what happens is it flips. Because when you first met them, all your dreams were together. Then you stop communicating, and your dreams, somewhere along the line, you decided you wanted to do this, she decided she wanted to do that, but neither one of you ever talked to the other, and so all of a sudden it's a surprise. And instead of being happy about it, you got a fight on your hands. So what are some of the other reasons? Well, there's trust. There's trust. I don't care who you are. I don't care what type of relationship you're in. This is a big one. You must trust the person you're with. There was a famous line in a song by 50 Cent. And he says, if your friends told you that they saw me with somebody else and I said it wasn't me, would you believe me? Or up and leave me. Now, mostly if you're being honest, you'd believe it. Because human beings are distrustful by nature. But I always felt like this. If my wife went out tomorrow and cheated, and I never found out about it, well, that's a different story. But could I really stop her? I found out I'm gone. But could I stop her? And the answer is no. And so a lot of people spend so much time worrying about or thinking about, is he cheating? Is she not cheating? Is he out with somebody? Is she out with somebody? What are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. I got to call him. How come he didn't call? Listen, you can't stop it. If somebody wants to go on a booty call, in today's world, okay, it's not that hard. It wasn't that hard back in the day. Sure as hell ain't hard now. Nowadays, you can Skype some pussy. You don't even need to go see them. The way technology's going, you'd be able to press a button on your iPhone and pussy would come right through it. You'd be able to fuck her and send her back. Siri. In all seriousness, folks, trust. Not only on the sexual level, though, with everything, right? How many times I've heard people say, oh, well, I don't know what he did with the money. I don't know what she did with the money. You don't trust that the person you're with is doing the best thing. You don't trust the person that's bringing home the money with the money. You don't trust the person at home
to make smart decisions. You don't have trust in the person who you say you want to build your life with. So over a period of time, when you don't trust, you start to question everything. Now, we all know there's only a certain amount of time you can live like that, okay? It's just, I say this all the time, all the time. You cannot live your life, you cannot live your life worrying about what if. What if will destroy you. It will destroy you. If you're going to stay in a marriage, but in America, people are getting divorced because of it. Because once the trust is gone, I believe it's gone. Unless the person who doesn't trust is willing to let stuff go. Because here's the thing. People say we have to earn trust. You can't earn trust. Because when someone doesn't trust you, you could do a million things to show them that they can. And if one thing is unexplained or one thing isn't the way they would have done something, the trust is gone right away again. You can't earn trust. You cannot earn trust. Someone either trusts in you or they don't. It's just like God, right? God doesn't earn your trust. You either trust in him and you have faith in him or you don't. There is no in between. Plain and simple. You either do or you don't. So what you have to start to ask yourself at some point, and what people in America, again, are distrusting by nature, you have to start to ask yourself, if I can never trust them, can I be with them? Because here's the other thing, too, okay, for men and for women. If you don't trust them, eventually you're going to make them do you wrong. Because I'll tell you this from experience, there's nothing worse than having someone act like they can't trust you when all you're doing is the best you can for them. There is nothing worse. It'll make you start to question whether you should just say, fuck it. Folks, I'm telling you, trust is on this list, and it's not surprising at all. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some more reasons. We're not going to get into solutions yet because we got a lot more to talk about because there are a lot of reasons why people are getting divorced. And one of the things I want to tell you is there's one main reason, but we're going to two main reasons, which we're going to save for last. They weren't on this list. But then my personal belief as to why the divorce rate now is at 53%. And I believe if we just correct these two things, that number would drop drastically. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. I apologize, music's not working. We'll be right back. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio, talking tonight about divorce in America and some of the many causes, some of the many reasons, and some of the things that are just downright out of our control. A lot of our things are in our control. One of the things that I talked about a little earlier, and I just want to reiterate this, was that among people considered the medical field, which marriage counselors are, and I don't really get that, but whatever, in the medical field, marriage counselors actually have the highest rate of divorce among themselves. And you know what they say, right? The dentist is always the one with the cavity, the plumber is always the one with the clogged sink, and the marriage counselor is always the one with the bad marriage, I guess. it's ironic, but you think about how much money people pay. It reminds me of, remember, in The Sopranos, Tony Soprano used to always go to that counselor, and all he wanted to do was bang her. He just wanted to bang her. He never got the chance, though. Poor Tony never got the chance to bang her. But that's all he wanted to do, right? And he's paying that woman hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And she never gave him any good advice. Not really. Not really. She used to just sit there looking pretty, not do a damn thing. And that's kind of how I view marriage counselors. I say this all the time. If you got to go to a stranger to tell you your problems or how to fix your problems, folks, you can forget it. When I left, the last thing that we touched on was trust. And another reason that made this list was unfulfilled desires. Now, I think there's a lot of things that could go on unfulfilled desires. But, folks, let's just cut right to the chase. There's a link between this and adultery and infidelity and indiscretion, okay? If you're me, likes to have their back rubbed, and you never rub their back, eventually they're going to go to a masseuse. If your mate likes to have their hair stroked, and you never stroke it, eventually they're going to buy a brush. And if your mate likes to have oral sex, and you never do it, eventually they're going to find someone who will. And this is the part, or any other type of sex, or any other type of fantasy. Because here's something that I believe very strongly. When you make the commitment to be with someone, and you ask them to make a commitment to forsake all other sexually, that to me means that you are saying that you are willing to be everything that all those other people would be, and so therefore there are no reason to go to anyone else. I firmly believe that you would see a much different landscape. You would see a significant drop in cheating if you had more communication, sticking to this, if people were just willing to experiment. You know, I heard a long time ago, I used to drive a cab. True story. I know people say, oh, I ain't never drove. Believe me, I drove a cab. True story. Anyone who knows me knows the truth. I was young, but I drove a cab. But I'll tell you the truth, I like driving a cab. I did. I wouldn't want to do it for a living, give them a lot of credit. But for that period of time, I did. I saw some crazy shit when I was driving a cab. But I remember one time in the cab, I had a lady. She was probably in her 60s. And she was saying how she missed her husband and he had passed away and how hard it was and, you know, how in all the years they had never barely ever fought because they always talked out their differences and, you know, never a reason to cheat because anything he wanted, he got at home and vice versa. And I remember thinking, man, I hope I could say that when I'm 60 or 70 or whatever she was. I didn't ask her. But she appeared to be in her mid-60s. And the last thing she ever said to me, I told her I was living, well, it's my wife now, but at the time it was my fiance, with my fiance, and did she have any advice for me? And she said, don't ever let it get boring. People don't like things that bore them. And it's always stuck with me. Always stuck with me. In fact, stuck with me so much, I can tell you where the lady lived. I can tell you where the lady lived. She lived on Cam Avenue in South River, right off Old Bridge Turnpike. Anyone from New Jersey knows where that is. She lived right on Cam Avenue. And so I remember at that time it didn't seem like a big deal. It seemed like good advice, but here I am. I'm driving along. You know, what do I know? If I was that bright, I wouldn't have been driving a cab, right? So I'm in the cab, and I'm driving around, and I couldn't shake what this lady had said. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That lady, and it shows why, and I know there's a number of reasons why the divorce rates were less back then, but that is one of them. Man, we got a treasure trove of old people, grandparents. Why do you think grandparents knew more about holding the family down? Why do you think family deteriorates when grandparents are gone? Because they got it, man. They understood it. But they're right. And you also have to think about the negative impact it has when you won't fulfill someone's desires. Because what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm gross? Does that mean that I don't turn you on? Does that mean you don't think I'm worth it? There's so many questions that go into it. Now, I'm not telling you that you got to swing from a chandelier and let them beat you with a donkey tail. But all I'm saying is, if you know someone, because I truly believe that when two people are not sexually compatible, there's two reasons why that happens. One, because they lose interest. But two, because one or both are not willing to be with the other ones. I firmly believe that. I don't think it's anything more than that. I think it's a conscious decision, okay, because somewhere along the line, you thought, oh, that's gross, and I'm not doing that. I'm not putting no dish soap on my boobies so you can wash it off and blah, blah, blah. And what you don't understand, though, is that wanting to fulfill your fantasies
with the person you're with is a high compliment. But people don't stop having wants and desires. So what that means, folks, okay, in plain terms is, at some point, they got to get their needs met. You don't meet them, someone else will. The next reason is a lot less complex, though. Well, maybe not. But it's because life happens. That's a big reason for divorce. Life happens. Somewhere along the line, it just isn't right anymore. Now, you hope you never be in that boat. Look, I hope, I can say this with all honesty, I hope I'm never facing a divorce. But I give a lot of credit to people who have gone through it because I think they were honest enough to make the decision for whatever reason, sometimes hastily. I'm not always saying it's the best choice. But, I do think cases is just life. You know, I did some work about 2 years ago for a couple in their basement, and they're both divorced. And the woman looked at me, and we're talking about divorce. She says, well, it just didn't work out. And I think that that's very true. I think that sometimes you just have to realize that, sure, there's fault in both, but sometimes it's not so much about fault. It's just about life. Because, look, you don't have control over a lot of things that change in you. For example, okay, if today you love football and 3 years from now you don't, something made you lose interest in it, right? Doesn't mean you're a bad person that you never cared about, liked football anyway. And I'm using this analogy, okay? I'm a diehard Dallas fan. Don't even get me started on this weekend. But I'm a diehard Dallas fan, right? If at some point, over the course of the next 10 years, 5 years, whatever, something started to change where I just wasn't interested in watching them anymore. Could be a variety of things. Could be things going on in my life, things they did, blah, blah, blah. Does that mean that I was never truly a Dallas fan? Does that mean that all the days that I sat up screaming and looking ridiculous and stomping and being in a bad mood and throwing things, dancing in the living room when they scored and crying when they lost and getting upset and arguing, does that mean that all that was fake? Hell no, it don't. Means that at some point they were not the right fit for me anymore because something happened. If you're playing like they did Sunday, that'll be the something, but nah. I went through them when they were 1-15, folks. I can handle this. But having said that, at some point, don't we just admit that sometimes it's just life. It just wasn't in the cards. You know, every time you break up with someone, and I'm amazed when people say this. I always hear this, right? Well, he left. Well, he never loved her anyway. No, they weren't in love. They were in love. They wouldn't have got divorced. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I can tell you right now, if me and my wife, God forbid, ever got divorced, there's no doubt in my mind that whenever I told her I loved her, it was the truth. And I like to think that it's the same from her. You don't plan on getting divorced, right? I mean, I don't, right? I don't know anyone that ever sat there and said, you know what, I'm 25 now, I'll get married when I'm 27, be married till about 33, then I'll get divorced, I'll do it. No, they don't say that, man, especially when there's kids involved. I can't even imagine. Like I said, I hope I'm never in that circumstance. And sure, it makes it worth trying to work anything out. But at some point, life has to step in and say, hello, 12 rounds are over and you got knocked the fuck out. I mean, forget it. Another reason was cultural and religious differences. Now, to be honest with you, I think this might be the dumbest one on the list. If you didn't know your person's culture and you didn't know their religion before you got married, that's your problem. You know, you got married to someone and you say, oh, my God, I didn't realize they were black. I didn't realize they were Korean. I didn't realize they were Italian. I didn't know they were Catholic. I didn't know they were Jewish. No. Folks, I couldn't even really pay a lot of attention to this one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. All I'm going to say is this. when you meet somebody, unless you're telling me that they completely change, you know, and this is the thing where I guess it could get a little skewed. If you met me and I was a practicing Catholic, and all of a sudden one day I come home and I say, okay, here's the deal. We're not eating pork in this house anymore. I am a Muslim. I could see that maybe, hey, you know what, that's one thing. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Because if you're talking about changing everything about who you married, that's a different story. Because one thing that allows people the ability to change, but not to become a whole different person, someone you would never recognize. Abuse was another one that made it. And this brings me to something, and it's very unfortunate, and I'm only going to touch on this for a minute. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Everybody knows what happened recently with Ray Rice. And now this woman has come out, and she is furious. She's defending her man. She married him right after. And so here's a woman who is abused that ran to the abuser. But by and far, I hope that's not the case for most. Now, abuse in a relationship goes both ways, and it's not just physical, okay? It's not just somebody slapping or punching the hell out of someone. Abuse can also be withholding sex. Abuse can be constantly putting the other person down or deliberately going out of your way to ruin things and make them happy. I'll give you an example. It's going to seem petty. If your man, I'm using man here for a minute, ladies, and this is not in any way to say that men are abused more than women, not at all. But I'm just going to use an example. One of the things that's great about my wife is that on Sundays, she knows that's the day for football. My kids, more welcome to watch it with me. My son will go to Buffalo Wild Wings for a game. But Sunday is the day for football. I work my ass off Monday through Saturday, and I find time for my family, okay? Perfect example, I'm coaching baseball, making sure I have all those days aside, but Sunday is my day. Now, unless there's an emergency, something happened, absolutely, I'm going to put that first. But ain't going to be no crazy stuff. Running around, watch kids, I'm going to the supermarket, no. And my wife will do a great job of making sure that I can see my football. And she'll ask for a couple of things here and there, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But some people out there will time it out so when the game's on, oh, can you take me here, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I can't. I got to do this. You watch your baby, blah, blah, blah. It's disrespectful. And it's abuse of a situation. And it creates feeling, and I'm not talking about football, I'm talking about, and I'll give you an example. My wife is with the PTO, probably going to run for president. She loves the PTO. She loves being involved in my son's school, and my daughter's school now, actually. And I love the fact that she gets involved. She needs me to watch the kids so she can go to meetings or whatever, as long as they're on Sunday. And I'll do it, no questions asked. Long as she lets me know about it, because I do have a busy schedule. But I'll make sure she can go, because I know that that's important. And I know that if I don't, then I am abusing what I'm abusing her, because what I'm in essence saying is I don't care that it makes you happy. There's financial abuse. Ridiculously spending money, not being able to account for it, or not letting the other person have any. Now, of course, there's physical abuse, no question about that, which I don't condone physical abuse on either side ever. Ever. Then there's insecurity and envy. Now, insecurity and envy is a big one. But I want to share some before I get to the insecurity and envy part. And that is that a lot of people, I hear this all the time thrown around that, you know, divorce nowadays, people don't even put thought into it. They just run. They get divorced. And, in fact, studies show that the average person that gets divorced thinks about it for 2 years and 12 days before they actually file. So they give it a lot of thought. And what I've always thought, I don't believe most people just wake up and run right to get divorced unless something that bad has happened. I mean, you call them harming your child or something. Because I don't care what it is, there's a point where you're going to think about it, I would hope. Now, I shouldn't say I don't care what it is, but barring something major. Now, insecurity and envy, though. How many people are actually jealous of their partner when their partner is doing well? Or if they're insecure because their partner is doing big things and they feel like they don't measure up. They stop looking at it as though they're a team and start looking at it individually. That is a very dangerous thing because then jealousy sets in. So instead of supportive and happy, it's angry and, envious. And your mate shouldn't be somebody that you're in competition with. But one of the main reasons people get divorced is they're insecure and they envy the other person. Feel like they don't measure up. Now, the other part is, though, what about the fact that when you are doing big things, do you include your partner? For example, our event industry right now is going pretty well. Going very well. My wife likes the face paint. We could have brought somebody in the face paint. We let her do it. There are certain things my wife can't be involved in. She can listen to the radio. She can't participate in it. This is my project. There's other people that are very involved. My wife doesn't make the decisions on the home shows or the events. But certainly, if she wanted to do an arts and crafts booth or something, she's more than welcome to help out. But what I mean by include is, do you share what's going on? Do you share the vision and everything so that they understand that they are a part of things? And if you're being honest, a lot of times you don't. And I think what happens is over a period of time, when you start making it so separate, they start to make it separate. Not always. Look, some people are just downright fucked up. And even though they're married to you, they just don't want to see you do well. And it does lead to divorce. It does lead to divorce. But now, folks, we're going to get to the two parts that I believe are the biggest. And the first one is that the reason why the divorce rate is so high is at the end of the day, marriage is just unnatural. Not by the way that we standards set. Most people are not monogamous by nature, and they don't find that out until after they've tried. They are just not built, and especially men, for marriage. But the next reason is, and what I believe to be the biggest, is that we create a vision of a fairy tale. And marriage does not change the fact of life. Okay? When your relationship is bad prior to marriage, we don't get along prior to marriage, sure, you could have that big wedding and you could have that dress and you could ride in on the pumpkin. And guess what? Eventually, it's the two of you again behind closed doors. And what the problem was before will still be the problem if you have not addressed it. That in marriage that you know, you kiss and the fireworks go off and the passion never fades and it's true love and the pitter-patter of your heart and doves fly around and all this other stuff. But that's not true. So I think that what happens is because people have an unrealistic expectation, when that expectation is not met, even though it never could be, they give up. I firmly believe that. Then we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend a few minutes talking on solutions. We'll be right back after this. Remember, the music's not working, so I apologize in advance.
And we're back live with Make You Think Radio, and we are in the final few minutes here. So I'm going to touch on some of the things. There's not a lot that I think we need to do as far as the divorce rate in America. I think ultimately the divorce rate in America is dictated by factors that we can't control. Number one thing being life and the fact that people change. But there are some things. And I think the most important thing we can do as a society is teach a realistic view of marriage. Okay, and I know it's great, and it really is, that we have the Disneyland philosophy. But the problem is you're setting people up for unrealistic expectations, right? And I equate it a lot to, like, jobs, okay, this corporate America syndrome nowadays. And you go into these corporate settings, and they lay out these goals that when you look at them and you say, you know what, logically, no, it's not going to happen. And so what happens is, though, they paint this perfect scenario. And by the time they're done, everybody's getting the top bonus, right? There's just no way you can miss the top bonus. This is it, man. Go in here, you do A, B, and C. The problem is A, B, and C don't account for D, E, and F. And if they realistically told them that, listen, you're going to shoot for the top bonus, you're going to fall a little bit short, they would aim for the best but be prepared for the worst. And I think that's a big problem. I think that in society today, what we've done is we've created this unrealistic image, right? And it's funny because even in the movies, right, whenever you see this situation where a guy falls in love with another girl, blah, 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 and this and that, he's never married. It just happens to be that he's not married. He's engaged or he has a girlfriend. Usually it's a fiance, or she has a, right? Because if they were married, that would never happen because that's bad. Like, here's the thing. If the person in the movie, let's take the person in the movie, right, was going to fall in love with someone else while they're engaged, do you think that wouldn't happen because they're married? Of course it would. It's the same person. Marriage doesn't automatically cut that off. May make you lie to yourself a little better or feel guilty, but it almost gives off this picture that it's okay because you're just his fiance. So if you suck Joe's dick, it's all right. If you were married, that would never happen. So now what happens in the movie, right? Well, of course, she leaves Bill for Joe, and then she marries Joe, and they never have a fight. But that's not reality. Thought that when you get together, you're going to work hard, you're both going to own a house. Maybe you won't. But we don't teach. We teach, and I get it. You don't want to teach your kids to not want to be married. But how about teaching them the truth about it? So that when they do go into it, they go into it with realistic expectations and ready to do their part. I'm just saying that when you have a divorce rate this high, and that's just the people admitting to it, maybe we need to take a look at what it is we're doing. Now, as far as married couples go, well, it's really very simple. You need to talk more. I put myself in there because I'm a married person. You need to talk more. You think about how much energy it takes to yell. It takes a lot less to talk. And if you actually just talk, you might actually hear each other. Instead of assuming and speaking for the other person, this goes both ways. You know, I hear all the time, well, men don't listen. I got news for you. It's men and women. It's men and women. If you're not going to talk about problems, then you are the problem. We don't account for the fact that our lack of communication is leading to some very rich lawyers, which, by the way, please, don't ever get a divorce lawyer. You don't need one, okay? You don't need a lawyer to get divorced, folks. You can work it out yourself to get to that point, and it's the best thing you'll ever do. I say this all the time. When me and my first son's mother broke up, the best thing about it was we didn't have nonsense. No, we weren't married. But we didn't have nonsense. We agreed it wasn't working. We moved on. It's the best thing you're ever going to do. But getting back to the point. And then last but not least, learn to be with everything. Okay? If you don't want him to chase the other woman or to look at other women, or I shouldn't say look at other women, but be with other women, then be that woman. If you don't want your wife to want other men, then be what she wants. Now, within reason, again, this is a scary topic, because what happens is a lot of people say, oh, well, now you're saying I got to change. No, 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 I'm not saying that. Okay, and again, to keep it simple, I'll use a football analogy. If Jamie came to me, my wife, and said, hey, you know, I'm looking to be with a guy who's an Eagles fan, and, you know, if you're going to make me happy, you have to do that or else I have to be with someone else, well, you have to be with someone else. Because don't ask me to compromise what I am or who I am. But you can be a lot of the things that your partner wants, okay, by listening and doing some of the little things. And that falls on both sides of the aisle. It's not any more men than it is women. It goes both ways. Like I said before, if you're constantly pointing the finger and yelling, then you're the problem. Okay, when you start thinking that the problem is everybody else but you, usually it's because you're the problem. It's the way that it is. Now, we're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come right back with closing thoughts. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio. It is time in the show for closing thoughts. Tonight, we've been talking about divorce in America. And, you know, it's a touchy subject. It's something that nobody ever wants to experience. It's the end of the road for what was a lifetime commitment. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's what happens. It's a painful thing, especially when there's kids involved. And, you know, I say this all the time. I would never want to be that guy. But I also know that one day I could be that guy. And I think that what keeps relationships going, besides the fact that they want them to, is exactly that. To view your marriage just like you view a life. One day you're going to die. Now, hopefully that's not for a very long time. But if you treat life like it will never end, you will stop doing the things that make you happy because you'll assume that it doesn't matter. And you stop caring about a lot of the things that made your life fulfilling. Okay? When people embrace the fact that they only have a certain amount of time, they tend to pay attention to detail. They tend to work harder and do the things that matter. Marriage is the same way. If you assume that you're never going to get divorced, chances are you will. Because you'll start justifying not doing the things that make the marriage successful. You'll start overlooking the things that made the marriage successful. In the end, there is no remedy, no guarantee, no cure for divorce. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's going to happen. Sometimes, no matter how bad you don't want it to, it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, when it happens, I would imagine the worst part would be sitting there thinking about all the things that you thought about doing and realizing that in the end, they played a major part because you didn't do them. Folks, you got to go in every relationship with open eyes. You got to have realistic expectations. And then once you're in that relationship, you got to build together. You got to remember something. Marriage in this way is just like a business. Two people that get into business, if only one is working at it or both stop trying, the business collapses. Marriage should not be a job. It should be a career that you love. There's a big difference. We'll be back tomorrow night. We are on tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to it. Then starting next week, we go to our new schedule, which is Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning.
so far the show has done very well. I'm hoping it picked up right where it left off. We did have a little bit of time off, but until tomorrow, as always, it's the station that makes you think. We look forward to it. Talk to you then.